Star Tide Rising, Cassette 9.
When he awakened next to the warm coals of his fire, the dawn was barely breaking, casting long dim shadows along the beach. Tom felt much better. His stomach had become resigned to a fast, and sleep had done him a lot of good. He was still weak, but he felt ready to try a dash for the next possible haven. He got up, brushed off the multicolored sand, and peered to the north. Yes, the floating derelict was still there. Hope on the horizon. To his left, under the massive bulkhead, the Thenanin scout breathed softly, slowly dying. It had fallen asleep listening to Tom's story of the shallow cluster of the shining giant ships and the mysterious symbols on their sides. Tom doubted the creature would ever reawaken. He was about to turn and pick up the shoes he had woven the night before, when he frowned and peered under a shading hand toward the eastern horizon. If only the binoculars had been saved. He squinted, and at last he made out a line of shadows moving slowly against the brightening horizon, spindly-legged figures, and one smaller, shambling thing. A column of tiny silhouettes moved slowly northward. Tom shivered. They were headed toward the eggshell wreck. Unless he acted quickly, they would cut him off from his only chance at survival. And he could tell already that they were Tandu. Part 6. Scatter. The moot point is whether Leviathan can long endure so wide a chase and so remorseless a havoc, and the last whale, like the last man, smoke his last pipe, and then himself evaporate in the final puff. Herman Melville. Chapter 64. Crydike Sowed. Crydike stared at the hollow display and concentrated. It was easier to talk than to listen. He could call up the words one or two at a time, speak them slowly, shuttling them like pearls on a string. Neural link repaired by Jillian and McKinney. But speech still gone. Sout's image nodded. You can use tools now, though. Crydike concentrated on Sout's simple question. You can use... Each word was clear, its meaning obvious, but in a row they meant nothing. It was frustrating. Sout switched to trinary. Tools to prod, the balls, the starships. Is your jaw the player, the pilot? Crydike nodded. That was much better, though even trinary came to him like a foreign tongue, with difficulty. Spider walkers, walkers, walkers. Holocom talkers, talkers, talkers. Are my playthings, are... Crydike averted his eyes. He knew there were elements of primal in that simple phrase, in the repetition and high whistling. It was humiliating to still have an active, able mind, and know that to the outside world you sounded retarded. At the same time, he wondered if Sao noticed a trace of the language of his dreams, the voices of the old gods. Listening to the captain, Sao was relieved. Their first conversation had started off well, but toward the end, Crydike's attention had begun to wander, especially when Sout had started running him through a battery of linguistic tests. Now, after McKinney's last operation, he seemed much more attentive. He decided to test Crydike's listening ability by telling him about his discovery. He carefully and slowly explained in trinary about the singing he had heard while linked to the robot in the drill tree funnel. Crydike looked confused for a long moment as he concentrated on Sout's slow, simplified explanation. Then he seemed to understand. In fact, from his expression, it seemed he thought it the most natural thing in the world that a planet should sing. Link. Link me. Please. I will... Listen. Listen. Sal clapped his jaw in assent, pleased. Not that Krydike, with his language centers burned, would be able to make out anything but static. It took all of Sal's subtle training and experience to trace the refrain, except for that one time when the voices from below had shouted in apparent anger. The sounds had been almost amorphous. He still shuddered, remembering that one episode of lucidity.
"Okay, Krydike," he said,
as he made the connection.
"Listen closely."
Krydike's eyes recessed in concentration as the static crackled and popped over the line. Chapter 65. Jillian.
Triple damn! Well, we can't wait for her to get here to start the move. It might take Hikaki 2 days to circle around in the skiff. I want to have Streaker safely inside the seahorse by then.
Suessi's simulacrum shrugged.
Well, you could leave her a note.
Jillian rubbed her eyes.
That's just what we'll do. We'll drop a monofilament relay link at Streaker's present position so we can stay in touch with the party on the island. I'll stick a message to the relay telling her where we've gone.
What about Toshio and Denny?
Jillian shrugged.
I'd hope to send the skiff after them and Sao, and maybe after Tom. But as things are, I'd better have Denny and Sao head toward your site by sled. I hate doing it. It's dangerous, and I need Toshio there watching Takata Jim until just before we take off.
She didn't mention the other reason for wanting Toshio to stay as long as possible. They both knew that Tom Orley, if he flew the glider home, would return to the island. He ought to have someone waiting for him.
Are we really going to abandon Metz and Takata Jim?
Suessi looked perplexed.
And Charlie Dart, apparently. He stowed away on the longboat. Yes, it's their choice. They hope to make it home after the Galactics blow us to Kingdom Come. And for all I know, they may be right. Anyway, the final decision's Hikahi's when she finally shows up and finds out she's in command.
Jillian shook her head.
Ifni sure seems to have gone out of her way to throw us curves, hasn't she, Hannes?
The elderly engineer smiled.
Luck's always been fickle. That's why she's a lady.
But Jillian didn't have the energy to give him much of a dirty look. A light winked on the console next to the holo display.
Here it is, Hannes. The engine room is ready. I've got to go now. We're getting underway.
Good luck, Jillian.
Suessi held up an O sign, then broke the connection. Jillian flicked a switch, cutting into the comm line from Streaker to the island.
Sao, this is Jillian. Sorry to break in, but would you please tell the captain we're about to move?
It was a courtesy to let Krydike know. Streaker had been his once.
Yes, Jillian.
There was a series of high, repetitious whistles in very primal-like trinary, much of it crested over the upper range of even Jillian's gene-enhanced hearing.
The captain wants to go outside to watch,
Saud said.
He promises not to get in the way.
Jillian couldn't see any reason to refuse.
All right, but tell him to check with Watasetti first, to use a sled and to be careful. We won't be able to spare anyone to go chasing him if he wanders off.
There was another high series of whistles that Jillian could barely follow. Krydike signaled that he understood.
Oh, by the way, Sout, Jillian added. Please ask Toshio to call me as soon as the longboat arrives.
Yes.
Jillian cut the connection and got up to dress.
There were so many things to juggle simultaneously.